Unbelief, what does it do? It excludes a man from the pardon of sin. There's no way of salvation if you do not believe upon Christ. We could go through list after list of things you can achieve in life, and none of it can save. Because the Savior said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Unbelief here as well excludes a man from all the saving benefits of Christ. Everything that Christ does for the sinner, saving him and cleansing his heart and washing him in his precious blood, and the friend that sticketh closer than any brother, all these benefits, the benefit of eternal life, all these things the sinner is excluded from.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need.
Surely follow me.
was Psalm 23 by the Whitfield Choir. We thank you for joining with us today in our program, and we trust that it would indeed be a blessing to your soul, that it would encourage you in your walk with God, and if you know not the Saviour, that it would indeed point you to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. We've been spending much time in John's Gospel chapter 3, and we come today to the verses 17 and 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. As we come to the Word of God today, will you be condemned because of your sin? Will you be condemned because of your unrighteousness? Or will you be welcomed into the promised land because Christ is your Saviour? We're going today to our pulpit for part one of the message, simply entitled, Condemnation. And may the Lord richly bless his word to all of our hearts.
John's Gospel chapter 3, I want to draw your attention to the verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Amen. Nicodemus was a man who had a very strong and influential religious background within his life. And that religious experience that he had taught him that he was righteous with God, that all was well with him, but yet in reality, as he came face to face with the Savior, he found that he was ignorant of his true position before God. He was an Israelite and a learned man and a ruler of the Jews, but that was not enough. He was dark from the spiritual perspective, and he needed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And such a comparison exists today within the Church of Christ. There are those who can attend a gospel preaching church, who can hear the gospel of salvation, who can hear their need of Christ, who know something of the gospel and can explain the gospel, but yet they can be far from God. People can think that they are acceptable to God because of the heritage that they have or profession that was made while they were young, and yet there is no evidence of faith, but yet they cling to a profession, believing that all is well in life and they can live how they like because they made this profession of faith and they are saved. The Lord's house can be attended out of tradition and ritual, not out of a love for Christ, not because salvation for them was found in Christ alone. And the Savior, in this discourse with Nicodemus, delves right into the heart of the gospel and delves right into what the gospel is about. And Nicodemus is taught here that any notion he has or any thought of righteousness that comes from who he is wrong. That idea and that thought is abolished. And salvation is through Christ alone and through the new birth and being regenerated by the Spirit of God. And therefore, there is no salvation outside of Christ, but rather condemnation. And the Savior is emphasizing to Nicodemus the reason and ground why regeneration and faith are so necessary. Because there is no salvation in him and who he is. And the same is true of you tonight. There is no salvation in you. There is no salvation in who you are. There is no salvation for you whatsoever outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of sinners. No other way to set men free from the curse and the condemnation of the law. And we find, in regard to the curse of the law, that illustration that was drawn from Jewish history of the serpents in verse 14 that bit the people of God, and how Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness that men may lurk and live. We have the glorious gospel of Christ summarized for us in the text we considered last week. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so tonight we see there is a gospel. There is salvation. But what happens if that gospel is rejected? What happens to those who do not believe upon Christ? Who reject and neglect the importance of making sure of their own salvation? And we have that in our text this evening. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They're condemned. Tonight, if you're in your sins and you have ignored and neglected Christ's salvation, the Word of God and the Savior himself condemns you. Condemnation is the act of declaring something awful or evil. If somebody did something to you, you would express your condemnation. If you had a car and it was old and it wasn't running too well, it was rusted and it was falling apart and it wasn't safe to drive, what would you do? You'd turn around and condemn it. It's not worth anything anymore. It's useless. It's fit for the scrap heap. And you condemn it to being destroyed or being recycled or whatever they do to old cars here in this part of the world. It's condemned. Maybe they still drive old cars. But it's condemned. It's useless and worthless. And condemnation comes from that verb condemn, which means to strongly disapprove. It's used in law. It's the same thing as sentencing or making a judgment. And here we have in view this idea of a judgment. Some versions of the Bible would translate this word as judgment rather than condemned. And we like the word condemned that is here in the version that we use this evening. But some have translated it judge. And the Greek word, the original Greek word for condemned, is a word that is used in the Authorized Version and translated as judgment in other places as well. It would be the root word that is used. And so those who believe not are condemned because they have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And our text this evening does something rather interesting. It sets society into two categories. Those who are condemned already and those who are not condemned. In other words, those who are saved and those who are lost. When we think of the Titanic disaster that happened in 1912. When news of that sinking reached the various places, New York, and there, Liverpool, Southampton, where the ship was associated with and sailed from. And the news came that there had been this terrible maritime disaster. And the Titanic had sunk. And there was a tremendous loss of life. Some of those newspapers, they drew up signs or boards outside. And when they heard of someone who had died or someone who had been saved, the name was put up. Certainly the famous people were put up. They were saved or they were lost. You see, with that disaster, there was no in between. You either died or you were saved. There was no sort of idea where you were swimming about unconscious to be picked up later on. We know that's illogical. You either died You either drowned or froze to death, or you were saved. It was one or the other, saved or lost. And that is what our text is teaching tonight. It is one or the other. Those that believe in Christ are saved. Those who believe on him are not condemned. But what about those who reject? Well, they are condemned. You're either condemned or not condemned. You're either saved or lost. And we see this throughout the gospel of Christ. This is what the Bible teaches. You are either saved or you are lost. Now, mankind does not like that thinking. Mankind disagrees with the thought that there are those who are lost and those who will be lost for all eternity. And therefore, you get individuals who twist the gospel and change the gospel and say, well, this doesn't really mean what God says it means. They're smarter than God. They know more than God. They can change the scriptures and apply it to their generation far better than God can in their sinful and wicked minds. And so they come and they say, well, everyone will be saved. And we don't need to worry about those who don't believe or those who do believe. There's universal salvation for everyone. Christ has done that. And it doesn't matter whether you believe in him or not. And that's what man says and man's authority. Is that what you're trusting in tonight, the authority of man? What does God say? What does the Savior say? The one who purchased that redemption. He said to Nicodemus, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Christ is saying, saved and lost, condemned or not condemned. It's one or the other. The two great categories of mankind. And tonight, what category do you find yourself in? Are you condemned? And condemned already? Or are you not condemned because of the Savior and your trust and your faith in him? And so tonight I want us to consider, quite simply, condemnation. Condemnation. And we find unbelief, firstly. Unbelief is the reason for condemnation. Unbelief, the reason for condemnation. And what is said in verse 18 indicates that those who do not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, those who do not believe in Christ and in his so great salvation, and in him being the Savior, they will perish. They are condemned. We see that in verse 16. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we change that. Whosoever does not believe in him shall perish and not have everlasting life. And so unbelief is the reason for condemnation. And the foundation of condemnation, this sentence or judgment upon mankind, is for sin. And the result of man's sin. Man was created to glorify God. But after the fall, man sins against God. Man flees from God. Man has no time for God. Romans 5:18 tells us, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Our original sin, the sin of Adam that has been passed to us. Therefore, you may be a good person and think you are doing good things in life, but that original sin of Adam is still there. It's affected you and it's affected all your faculties. All have sinned, the Word of God says, and have come short of the glory of God. And therefore, because of that sin, you're condemned. Because of unbelief, you're condemned. And the specific sin mentioned here is that sin of unbelief. There is a twofold aspect of this. One of the Puritans spoke about those who have never heard the gospel having a negative unbelief. The heathen, they've never heard the gospel. And then he spoke about a positive unbelief in the sense of those who sin by sitting under the gospel, hearing the gospel and knowing the gospel and hearing Christ preached, but they never believe. They never trust. There's a knowing unbelief within their heart. And this unbelief is the neglecting to take Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel, believing in him and trusting him as your Savior. And the way of salvation is in no doubt in these verses. The Savior has made that clear, that salvation is through him. Through him alone, the one who was lifted up. And therefore, those who do not believe will perish. They will perish. Those who are unbelievers are condemned. Tonight, what category do you fit into? Are you those who believe and who rejoice and have a faith in Christ? Those who love the Savior? Or are you included in that category that has neglected Christ and rejected the Savior? And you may have feelings that are not negative, feelings perhaps that are not like what we considered in the adult Bible class, the adult Sunday school this morning, those who persecuted the church of Christ. You may be far removed from being one who hates the church and one who hates the Savior. But yet, by neglecting salvation and by neglecting Christ, you are still condemned. You do not have to be a modern day Emperor Nero to be condemned. You can be someone who works helping others, someone who is involved in a good profession in society, who lives a somewhat moral life in society, respectable, but yet because you don't believe in Christ, what does the Savior say? You're condemned already because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. And unbelief, what does unbelief do? Unbelief excludes a man from the pardon of sin. In John 8, verse 24, the Savior says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And the Savior is making it clear, if you do not believe in me, and you do not believe that I'm the Savior, and you do not believe that I'm the one who can cleanse from sin, you'll die in your sins. You'll die and be condemned if ye believe not. And what a warning that is from the Savior. What a warning that is for you tonight. If you're in your sin and you do not believe upon Christ, the Savior says, you will die in your sin. There's no pardon. There's no peace. There's no satisfaction from God to justify you and to deliver you from your sin if you do not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how serious this is. And our text this evening is a serious text. It's not something for us to just set aside or ignore. This is God warning you through the gospel of his Son, that those who do not believe are condemned, and those who believe are not condemned. Unbelief, what does it do? It excludes a man from the pardon of sin. There's no way of salvation if you do not believe upon Christ. We could go through list after list of things you can achieve in life, and none of it can save. None of it can pardon. Because the Savior said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Unbelief here as well excludes a man from all the saving benefits of Christ. Everything that Christ does for the sinner, saving him and cleansing his heart and washing him in his precious blood and sanctifying them and being their helper and their comfort and the friend that sticketh closer than any brother, adopting that sinner into the family of God. All these benefits, the benefit of eternal life, all these things the sinner is excluded from because of unbelief. And instead, they continue in that state of death and condemnation. Why? Because unbelief can never save and never deliver.
Spurgeon's devotional today is based on 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. It is a curious fact that there is such a thing as being proud of grace. A man says, I have great faith, I shall not fall. Poor little faith me, but I never shall. I have fervent love, says another. I can stand, there is no danger of my going astray. He who boasts of grace has little grace to boast of. Some who do this imagine that their graces can keep them, knowing not that the stream must flow constantly from the fountainhead, or else the brook will soon be dry. If a continuous stream of oil comes not to the lamp, though it burn brightly today, it will smoke tomorrow, and noxious will be its scent. Take heed that thou gloriest not in thy graces, but let all thy glory and confidence be in Christ and his strength, for only so canst thou be kept from falling. Be much more in prayer. Spend longer time in holy adoration. Read the Scriptures more earnestly and constantly. Watch your lives more carefully. Live nearer to God. Take the best examples for your pattern. Let your conversation be redolent of heaven, and let your hearts be perfumed with affection for men's souls. So live that men may take knowledge of you that you have been with Jesus and have learned of him. And when that happy day shall come, when he whom you love shall say, come up higher, may it be your happiness to hear him say, thou hast fought a good fight, thou hast finished thy course, and henceforth there is laid up for thee a crown of righteousness, which fadeth not away. On, Christian, with care and caution, on with holy fear and trembling, on with faith and confidence in Jesus alone, and let your constant petition be, uphold me according to thy word. He is able, and he alone, to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We've come to the end of our program today. This is Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton. We thank you for joining with us, and we trust that this program has been a blessing to your soul. May the Lord bless you richly, and join us again tomorrow as we let the Bible speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.